Hello, and welcome to Sunday Afternoon Baseball, episode number 2.
Sunday Afternoon Baseball with Paul and Dave. What a week it has been for the Jays.
I'm Dave Barkley.
I'm Paul Frank. Let's get this going.
Oh, God.
A strong start. This better be going somewhere.
Anyone watched the game last night? Podcast land?
We'll just wait here for you to answer.
I did.
How was it, Dave?
Oh, God. So great, but in the end, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I got home at 12 midnight because I was doing a murder mystery dinner theater in Waterford, Ontario.
Where you played the dinner.
Yes. I played a mean chicken cutlet.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
Actually, this one I was not the murderer or the victim. There's three shows that I do.
You were the...
One, I'm the murderer.
You were the wealthy ivory heiress?
Yes. I was the butler who's secretly a child of one of the rich people.
This all sounds pretty convoluted.
Yeah.
And not about baseball.
Actually, I was a baseball-themed show. Really? I played the catcher.
How do you find work like this, Dave?
It's hard.
Isn't that the dream? To have as many jobs as you can that deal with baseball?
Yeah, I live the dream. Couldn't you tell? From the way I walk around whistling and strutting?
Your general moxie does suggest that you live the dream.
That I have achieved all I want to in life.
Yep. Plus this couch made of dollar bills that we're sitting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite couch.
And it wasn't cheap.
We have 8 couches made of different currencies. Anyway, I got home at 12 midnight. Fingers crossed that baseball was still on. Turned it on. We're going to extras. So happy.
So many extras.
I snuggled down. I brought an upstairs pillow down to the couch and like curled up in a blanket. Almost fell asleep a couple times, but it turned out that more times I would jump off the couch and scream at the TV. Mostly because of that time that Junel Escobar first came back.
Yeah, so
injury, unexpectedly.
I'm so glad he's okay.
And then walked heroically. And then got called out inexplicably by Bob Davidson, the umpire.
Yeah, that was ludicrous.
For interference.
Absolutely
ludicrous. Didn't make
ludicrous.
Any sense.
No.
And I heard from Mike Wilner, the Blue Jays radio personality,
that three of his sons play for the Angels. Right?
I was going to say that it was the same umpire who didn't call the triple play in the 92 World Series.
Oh, he hates the Jays.
He hates the Jays.
That explains it.
Why would you hate the Jays?
The Jays are, and I know this for a fact, the greatest baseball team ever.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know what his problem is, but he better keep it in the starting gate today. That's all I can say.
Yeah, he was the home plate umpire on Friday.
Now that explains nothing. Because we won that game.
So, he's probably playing one of the other umpire positions.
You know what? That explains why, like, Irvin Santana had thrown 16 pitches through the first 4 innings.
Yeah.
It felt like...
Bob Davidson was like... Great, they're all strikes. I'm going home. Fuck you, Blue Jays.
Everything's a strike. Turn off the lights when you're done. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a poker game to get to.
Okay, so we got the Angels and the Jays up for you today.
That's right.
That means Vernon Wells.
He's back.
Already, and he's doing great.
Or the Jays are visiting him where he is now.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't count as being back.
No, but we didn't have to wait too long to see Vernon Wells up against the Jays. He's been predictably uninspiring so far.
Yeah, he looked familiar when he was striking out
with
the bases.
Which brings me to...
Juiced.
Let's not make this the hot dog bet of the week. But let's just kind of do a friendly over-under on how many times Vernon Wells is going to strike out today. And the number is 2.5.
Okay.
Do you want over or under?
Under.
You want under? I was gonna take over.
I knew you would.
So
that's just a friendly bet, though.
That's a friendly bet. We don't even have to really shake on it.
That's not a bet involving hot dogs.
No, and like we can edit the podcast afterwards to make it seem like I was right no matter what. So, friendly bet. That's how that works.
Really?
Paul Frank, the bets that Paul Frank wins.
The bets with hot dogs are deadly serious bets.
So 2.5, you're taking under, so he has to strike out 2 times or less. If he strikes out 2 times or more.
What if he strikes out 2.5 times?
I guess 2.5 times would be if he strikes out 3 times, but the third one is one in the dirt that gets away from the catcher and he reaches first safely.
And he hustles.
I'm going to say that's a draw.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That means we just kiss.
We kiss for minutes and minutes at a time. Okay, so the game is underway. Rajai Davis, I felt like, struck out in a hurry despite getting to a 2-2 count. I totally got caught up.
Yeah, this pitching matchup, I'm going to say, does not favor the Blue Jubs.
No way. Jojo Reyes, I don't know who out there caught his first start. It was less than sharp. I'm going to say it was not a good start. Right. Arguably the worst start we've seen from a Jays pitcher this year. I don't even really know if that's arguable. I'm going to say definite.
Yesterday's Cecil start wasn't too hot.
Yeah, but there's not too hot. And then there's Jojo Reyes.
5 runs in 4 innings.
That's great.
Jojo Reyes gave up 3 runs? 5 runs five in like runs. 3.5 innings?
Yeah, so.
Same.
I guess it's arguable. Because
same. We're arguing about it. But with us, more things are arguable than with normal people.
That's true.
Because we like to scrap.
We're a couple of scrappy pappies.
Scrappy do and scrappy d.
Scrappy do and scrappy don't.
Oh, Escobar has a weird thing on his leg.
Speaking of scrappy do, Escobar is up. And
he struck out. It seems like it's a one-pitch strikeout day.
It might be just that kind of a day. We could be in tough with JoJo later.
Yeah, I remember going to games at the Dome where Jared Weaver is pitching and having a frown on my face the whole time.
Oh, for sure. And like same with Irvin Santana. I cannot believe we actually beat him on Friday night because I didn't know how to feel. There is no precedent for us beating Irvin Santana. He was 3-0 against us, and I felt like every time he plays us, it's just super convincing.
I felt the same way about Matt Garza, and then I went to a game in Tampa, and we destroyed him. Mm. And I felt we were in a magical universe.
Yeah, the magical universe of Tropicana Field, where dreams come true.
The world's largest Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, man. Speaking of the stupid Rays, Manny yes. Ramirez retired this week.
That's true. In not glorious fashion.
Yeah. They're just done. The Rays. Just
my toast.
Absolutely. Paul declares it. You can't come
back. More toast than the Bo Sox.
Oh, man.
Who have the same record.
Yeah. You got to figure that the Bo Sox will figure it out eventually, but what are the Rays going to do?
Yeah.
They kind of hedged all their bets on, like, oh, we got Manny to protect Longoria now, and like 6 games into the season, he's like, in typical Manny fashion, he's like, all right, I'm done. Take it or leave it.
I'm going, guys.
I just remember Johnny Damon in spring training giving these cocky-ass interviews to to ESPN and stuff, saying, like, well, you got to remember what me and Manny bring. We take it up a level. You got to remember, me and Manny, we get results or something. I'm paraphrasing. But he said something like, you got to remember, me and
Manny. He really wanted everyone to remember.
He really took a lot of...
they played on the same team.
Yeah, he really took a lot of preemptive credit for how awesome the Rays were going to do this year. And I'm going to say to you, Johnny Damon, what happens now?
Yeah, you guys...
You got to remember... What a nonchalant asshole Manny Ramirez is. He just left you high and dry. How does it feel? How does it taste?
Poor Johnny Damon.
I know, I love him so much. Remember when he was almost a Blue Jay?
Was he?
No, but he was on Cito Gaston's wish list in the 09 offseason.
I'm sure a lot of people were on that list.
Yeah, like, yeah. Pujols.
Yeah. Cito, every 5 minutes, is calling up the front office and it, can we get Pujols?
Pujols is a good hitter.
I've heard about Hanley Ramirez. Can we...
Is there any sort of McDonald Ramirez trade possibilities? They're both shortstops.
Can you acquire Devon White? Hello, is anyone answering this?
I don't know if the rest of Major League Baseball understands how much I value power hitting. back to Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
You were a Manny fan, or you hated Manny?
No, I think I've always found him amusing and liked him for that reason.
Did you think that maybe the Jays, he had expressed interest in playing for the Jays this offseason. Were you excited by that?
I was. Potential? I'm glad it, now that it didn't work out.
Do you think he would have retired if he had come to Toronto?
Probably, because he still would have been caught in a steroid test.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's why he retired.
Wow, really?
Well, he got caught, I think, for that same thing he got caught for before, like the pregnancy drugs that hide steroids.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, so he's really slinking out.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of a sad ending to a great career.
Which was who knows how fueled by steroids.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Now he probably won't get into the Hall of Fame, which I think is dumb.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the MLB just kind of needs to make its peace with the steroid era. And I guess by the MLB, I mean, you know, the Baseball Writers Association. Just kind of recognize that it was a time in baseball history. Maybe judge stats a little bit differently in light of that. Like... Mark McGwire, I don't know if he belongs in the Hall of Fame or not. I'm going to say he really just had that one dimension to him, which was home runs and a low average. And yeah, he kind of brought baseball to its knees with that 1998 season and everything. But maybe someone like McGwire doesn't get in. But someone like, and I hate to say it, but someone like Barry Bonds, I think, is a Hall of Famer. Because Barry Bonds, you know, clearly had the tools working for him.
Yeah, he also had the most home runs of anyone in the world.
Yes, that is true.
But in one season and in a career.
Very, very true. I mean, that was definitely aided by the steroids.
Yeah, but Babe Ruth was aided by not facing black people.
That's true. And Hank Aaron was aided by the fact that he played for 50 years.
Yeah.
If you play for 50 years, you're going to break the home run record.
This is my criteria for getting in the Hall of Fame, and it makes it really easy.
Okay.
Are you famous?
Bobby Abreu, Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
I know who he is. To me, he's famous.
Yeah, but not that famous. Like, there's varying degrees, but...
Would you be super excited to get his autograph?
But it's based mostly on your level of fame, I should say. Not have I heard of you or not, but...
Oh.
Like, the same amount of people would get in as they do now.
So, like Joe Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he hit a historic... Because
everybody knows what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yours is based on moments.
Could be.
Rather than a career.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Bert Blyleven, nah, I don't remember him doing anything.
Okay, so by your criteria, then, Mark McGwire should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Absolutely?
I think even if you did something horrible, you should be in the Hall of Fame. Bill Buckner should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, oh, yeah, that's a good... he is pretty famous.
Because, really, you just want to walk through the hall and be like, oh, yeah, all these guys I've heard of.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like... Who the fuck is this guy?
Okay, so Jose Canseco, Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Because of all the steroids he did?
Because he was on the cover of the 1989 Panini sticker book. And he had a 40-40 season, which seemed to be a really big deal at the time.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Was he the first or was Bonds the first to do that? I think Jose did it first.
Did Bonds do that?
Of course he did.
Jose was definitely the first.
Yeah, okay. Bonds did it. Jose did it. Recently, Soriano did it.
Oh.
Okay, so recapping from last week, the hot dog bet wrap-up. The hot dog bet last week was which Blue Jays catcher would finish with more home runs by next podcast. Dave took Aaron Sebia. I took Molina. I lost.
I realized, thinking about this, we didn't really specify what was the bet, that who they would get the most home runs in the week or have the most total home runs by this point?
I was just thinking by the next time we taped our podcast.
Okay, so it does include the home runs that they had?
For sure. Yeah, it definitely does.
The first 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, any bet during a time period where we say this week, we should make it clear that we... Uh-oh. Oh, JoJo.
Bad start.
Okay, JoJo Reyes is really shit in the bed right now. He retired the first batter, and so far that is all. I will be happy to see him go.
Yeah. He's not making a big case.
Get well soon, Brandon Morrow, because...
this ain't working out for old JoJo.
Old JoJo can't handle it. Predictably, I lost the first hot dog bet to Dave.
So you owe me one hot dog.
I owe you one hot dog. The hot dog tally is Dave 1, Paul 0. So this week's hot dog bet I am proposing is as follows. This week, we've seen a surprising start from the AL East, to say the least, with the Orioles at the top.
To say the AL East.
To say the AL East. You got the Orioles in first. And I know it's early, but nobody's used to seeing Baltimore number one in the standings.
This happened like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember.
And that's it ended up the same.
That's not the bet. And I'm not saying that it won't. But we got Baltimore in first. The Rays and the Red Sox each won one game.
That's right.
This week.
I think the Rays lost today.
Oh, perfect.
And the Red Sox are playing the Yankees tonight. So I think, yeah, the Rays are 1-8 and the Red Sox are 1-7 as we speak.
Which team will be in first place by the time we do our next podcast? In the AL East.
In the AL East.
Does Baltimore hang on for another week? You got to think, mathematically, is it very likely that even if the Red Sox do mount something, that the Orioles are going to lose as many games?
And there's always the New York Yankees.
There's always the Yankees, and there's always the Jays who are hanging in there.
I'm going to see what the standings are this very moment.
Okay.
Just to make the most informed selection possible.
See, that's cheating, because I never make an informed selection.
Yes. That's how this works. That's the routine we have going.
We got a real Kenny versus Spenny thing going
on. Yeah, I do something that makes sense, and you make up a crazy, self-hating prediction. There we go. Standings was what I was looking for. Okay, so right now, Baltimore is 6-2. New York is 5-3. Toronto is 5-3. And Tampa and Boston are both 1-7.
So really...
But that's as of yesterday.
Yeah.
So today, Baltimore looks like they're losing to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
3-0. Toronto's losing.
Yes, they are.
The Yankees and Boston have yet to play. And Tampa is actively losing to the White Sox, 6-1.
Oh my God. Those poor bastards. Okay, so do you have your pick yet, Dave?
I'm going to say the Yankees.
You're going to say the Yankees? Because I'm going to say the Blue Jays.
Oh, that's a big surprise.
Yeah, I love the Blue Jays, everybody. Yeah, I'm going to say the Jays. Live by them, die by them. And if they cost me a hot dog, it wouldn't be the first time.
So are these bets all going to be like, the Jays are going to be great? And I'm like, probably not.
Yeah. Kenny versus Spenny.
Why don't we just make a hot dog bet that the Jays are going to win the World Series this year?
Man, I bet my sister every year because she knows that I will not bet against the Jays. Yeah. And I will not take a bet. But she bets me $10 every year. She just takes advantage of you. Yeah, she takes advantage. She's like, I'll bet you that the Jays won't win the World Series and that the winner of the World Series will be any other team but the Jays. And I'm like, I'll take it. And I lose.
That sounds like a good bet.
I lose every year. It's a steal of a deal. Dave, another segment I wanted to do with you. I made a list. Vernon Wells has been off to a slow start.
Yes.
Because I want to help the Angels out, in part because I have a lot of respect for Mike Socha and the boys, and also a little bit of guilt for them.
For foisting our albatross on them.
Exactly. So, Vernon Wells is currently batting in the five hole for the Angels. To begin the series, I saw a stat that he was 0-for-13 in his last 13 at-bats. Seven of those, strikeouts.
Hmm.
Which is...
And that continued on to an 0-for-16, I believe.
Oh, yeah. As a gesture of good faith towards the Angels, to repair any sort of resentment that they might feel towards the Jays, for getting stuck with this black hole of a failure...
Who did get 30 home runs last year?
Yeah.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, he did, but... I've made a list of better number five hitter options than Wells. All of these people, I believe, are still available and quite affordable. So here are my list of better number five hitter options than Vernon Wells.
For the on their team? Or
That they could acquire.
At a low price.
At a low rock bottom price. Jim Abbott. He's got one arm, but at least he knows what kind of pitches are thrown sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, he probably doesn't tap both of his feet with his bat after he strikes out.
No. So Jim Abbott,
because he values his limbs.
Jim Abbott would be a better number five hitter than Vernon Wells. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
All right.
Mike Socha. He's already there.
Yeah, he's already wearing a uniform.
Yeah, Mr. Smallball. Mike Socha would be a better number five hitter than Vernon Wells.
He just bunt his way on every time.
Every time. The cast of Angels in the Outfield.
The original or the later one?
The Tony Danza, Danny Glover,
Christopher Lloyd?
Oscar winning one. Any old man. Just put any old man.
What about those two old men on the TD Canada Trust commercials?
Yeah, they would work.
Yeah, both of them at the bat at the same time.
Yeah.
One on each side of the plate.
One to hold the bat. One to swing the bat.
And one to say, what? The bank's open.
Yeah. Any old man. I'm just saying, you can name any old man. And I would say, yes, absolutely. Put him in.
What about dead old men? What about George Burns?
Well, I said old man, though, not dead man.
Oh, okay.
Which brings me to number five.
How many of these are there?
Just five.
Oh, okay. This is the capper.
Yeah. A vacant spot in the five hole. So basically, a forfeit of one out.
Just an out.
Would be better than Vernon Wells.
Because it
eliminates the double play.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my list. Notice I did not say Juan Rivera.
Right.
Yeah.
So he would not be a good replacement.
No. No.
Mm-hmm.
Vernon Wells is terrible, but so far... looks to be something of an upgrade.
Yeah, at least is playing defense.
Yeah. That, yeah, very true.
Oh, man. Can we revisit that whole shift they made right at the end of spring training? Where they moved Bautista to the outfield and put Rivera as DH and Encarnacion back to third, which they said they would never do.
Yeah, I felt pretty betrayed by that situation.
Yeah, well, everything they do is so smart. I feel like there's something we don't know there. People say it's to get ready for Brett Lowry, but I don't see how Bautista would, like, need 2 months to get ready to play right field.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're hoping Juan Rivera will pick it up so that they can flip him for someone, and I think that Lowry will be up, and I think that Edwin will be moved back to DH, and I think that Rivera is kind of the odd man out.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't get why they made this change now.
To piss us off.
Okay, there's three possible reasons that they would have made it, right?
Yeah, to at piss least. You off.
To piss me off.
Yep.
And it's working.
Same here.
One, the reason that they claim is the reason, and that Edwin Encarnacion has improved his defense so much, he's earned the chance to be at third base again. Clearly not true in
practice.
I'm
not seeing that so far.
Yeah.
Four errors in four games.
Yeah, he's been awful.
Yeah.
Two, Rivera is so bad at defense that they had to bench his glove.
Which, I don't think Rivera is bad at defense.
Yeah,
though. I think
Rivera, I never heard anything like that.
I even think Rivera like might be as good of a defensive left fielder as Travis Snyder.
Yeah, possibly.
Like they put him in right field when Bautista was off tending to his family matter, and so Snyder was in left. So you got to figure he's got some fielding ability.
Yeah. Yeah. The third possible reason is that Bautista changed his mind about being okay with playing third base.
And, I think that
like,
is the reason.
Asked to play right field.
I think that's the reason. I think Bautista
really... I think
that
really, has to be the reason. Yeah.
He's such an asset, though, his arm in right.
It's true.
But that, unfortunately,
but they like
opens up a huge liability at third base.
Yeah. I guess, like, probably Bautista went through spring training playing third and was just like, this isn't working for me.
Yeah. Not comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you tough it out with Edwin for the first couple of months till Lowry's ready to come up. And I think, yeah, you got to make Bautista happy. He's your guy. He's the franchise now. So I think you really sort of have to respect what's making him feel comfortable. And if there's something kind of in his head about playing third base that's going to affect his performance or inhibit him at all, I think you got to kind of take care of it and make sure that your best guy is getting what he needs.
Yeah. I guess that's
true. Which is weird, because he used to be the total opposite of that, right? He used to be able to plug Bow in anywhere.
Yeah.
In the lineup, in the field.
I just have all these lingering worries about Bautista getting a little...
Getting a bit of a head on him?
Yeah.
Did you write your jokes this week?
I did. I wrote 4.
Cool.
I wanted to write 5, but I ran out of time.
Okay. Give them to me.
I had a busy week.
Paul. They better be as good as those twins jokes.
I think these 4 are better than my 5 last week.
Okay.
Just to really pump them up.
Okay, but don't throw me any curveballs here. Like, I don't want to get stuck not knowing what I'm supposed to do and look like a fucking idiot.
Oh, just laugh uproariously.
Oh, okay.
Be well, like, you're so clever, Dave.
We'll see what happens.
Alright, so this is similar to last week.
Okay.
The Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, are so angelic.
How angelic are they?
Passers-by want to pinch their cheeks.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 Angel. Angel.
Hey, I told you, Hunter.
Small ball. Small ball.
Oh, my kiss, Yosia.
Oh, they bunt all the time.
I saw the cootie pie.
Oh, you all used to be Yankees.
You're a little angel.
Oh, also,
we've made some bad signings recently.
I realized the other day that Bobby Abreu looks like a Latin Jason Giambi.
He doesn't hit like one, though. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Bobby Abreu is a much better player than Jason Giambi.
But he has the same crazy-looking face.
Yeah.
If you're listening at home, look up a picture of those two, put them side by side,
and laugh till you pee in your pants.
Another thing I noticed the other day.
Yep.
I think I visualize all Angels fans as children.
Why is that?
Well, I think it was mostly happening last night. They were chanting, "Let's go, Angels," and it was all children yelling it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, they're all kids. And they all hold these stuffed monkeys.
Oh. Sorry, JoJo just beaned Howie Kendrick. Anyway,
go on. Hey, JoJo hasn't given up any more runs, and it's the third inning.
I think, yeah, any team from Anaheim kind of smacks as a kid's team. You know, like the Mighty Ducks.
The Disneyland named after factor,
a kid's movie. Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield was about a kid.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw that movie as a kid, I was like, oh yeah, people like the Angels.
Oh yeah, yeah, they are my favorite.
And I think, yeah, the stuffed monkeys being a major part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely makes it feel like it's just a bunch of twerpy kids out at the ballpark.
I see your point.
And the stands empty at like 8 p.m. Because they have to go to bed.
Bleachers are full of sleeping children
in extra innings. Yeah, waiting for their parents to shake them and bring them
to
home.
To pick them up.
All right, so that was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are so angelic.
How angelic are they?
If they committed a crime, people would blame their poverty-stricken background and not hold them personally responsible.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. I think these are already much better than last week's.
Yeah, these are like, like kind of socio...
Yeah.
Economical. Yeah, these are hard hitting.
These are edgy.
Like, they seem stupid at first, but when you think about it...
They're still stupid. Yeah.
They're stupid, but they have a message.
All right. Number three is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are so angelic.
How angelic are they?
Their wings get caught in door frames. it's not as good.
I like it. I'm just picturing like slamming a door shut on an angel's wing.
I think it's like the John Travolta movie Michael.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a scene in that.
Where he walks around in the whole movie with just a bloody set of wings.
Yeah. Number four. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are so angelic.
How angelic are they?
They were cast in a production of Oliver Twist as the Orphans. That's all I got.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like the angels' wings getting caught in the doors the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that with Vernon Wells mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But also Bobby Abreu.
Yeah. I don't know if aerodynamically Bobby Abreu could fly the best out of all these guys.
He would look more like a weird imp demon. So, you can't see this at home, but my mom, Mrs. Barkley, Jan, lives a lot of the time in Florida with my dad in Fort Myers, where the Minnesota Twins have spring training. And for my birthday this year, she brought me back two Minnesota Twins bobbleheads. One is Kirby Puckett making a catch in the 1991 World Series.
I'm going to say that this Kirby Puckett bobblehead looks less like Kirby Puckett and more like one of the following. One, Tony Gwynn in a Twins uniform.
Yeah.
Two, Fat Bill Cosby.
Yeah, he kind of has bags under his eyes, too. Seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't have as big bags under his eyes? Kent Herbeck from the 1987 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Still looks sleepy, though.
Looks like a sleepy Mark Teixeira.
Yeah. And so that means, oh god, I broke it.
You actually did break it.
These are very fragile.
How did you break that?
I barely touched that. This bat is also broken.
Oh my god.
But his head's still on.
The bobbleheads are unraveling before us.
I'm not gonna touch it anymore.
It's still gonna break though.
Their heads are moving. These are broken.
Don't bobble its head, you're gonna break it.
This is a nightmare. Junel is up.
Junel.
My new favorite.
Oh, I love him.
He won the derby to become my new favorite player.
Oh, it's official.
It's over. Next chance I get, I'm gonna go get an Escobar shirt.
That's great. I've always thought that was a great deal and a great trade.
Yeah.
For Junel Escobar.
I love how much he gestures, which I think he does because he doesn't know English.
Yeah.
Yesterday during that horrible call, he wagged his finger at the umpire.
Oh yeah.
Which was great. And he's always smiling and pointing at people.
Yeah, and he's so flashy.
He's just an adorable man. He's not afraid to do weird things like bunt and always take the double play himself.
Yeah, and he's actually, this is probably the best at-bat we've seen from the Jays all day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? He's got it to a 3-2 count. He's fouled a couple off.
Yeah. Before, in the earlier innings, we were like, and I think the Jays batted, but we're not sure.
Yeah, we got to talking about, oh, he walked.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that. No perfect game for Weaver today.
I fixed my Kent Herbeck bobblehead.
He looks pretty broken to me, Dave.
What is the over or under on, do you think my mom will listen to this podcast?
2.5.
Yeah. I don't think she knows what podcasts are, but I think she would learn because she really loves me.
Mm-hmm. So she does.
Could go either way. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah! The bobbleheads I particularly enjoy because I have 2 bobbleheads and Steve Pookin has 0 bobbleheads.
He doesn't have any bobbleheads, but he loves bobbleheads so much.
Yeah.
Like, you remember last week he didn't come to the show because he was trying to get a bobblehead, which he did not get.
Yeah. A lot of people I know got one. I don't know what he did.
Yeah, he could have bought one off a scalper.
Yeah.
If he loves bobbleheads so much.
He told me they were giving like 3 away at a time to like scalpers.
Giving?
Yeah. But, selling. Like, remember when we jokingly said he would go in and get 3 of them because they would give out 3 at a time?
Yeah.
Apparently that was happening.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Ferg Cowell, the brother of Matt Cowell of Matt Stats, got one.
Oh, that's good. Is he enjoying it?
I think so.
Has he broken it yet?
I think he was thinking about selling it on eBay.
I think he was thinking about breaking it.
I think you got a bat ready. Like Josh is giving signs, but he's just pointing at different places on his face.
Yeah. Classic Sosh. Oh, Sosha told him to try to pick Bautista off. You see that?
Good TV, Sportsnet.
Yeah. Wizardry.
I like to imagine Sosha there was telling a doctor where his face hurts.
Nose, cheeks, and hat.
The doctor's like, first you should take off your hat.
But it hurts. My hat hurts so much.
I guess I have never seen Mike Sosha without a hat on.
Yeah.
It could be part of his face.
You know what I bet, why I bet he doesn't take it off is just because there's exposed brain tissue under there.
Gross. Kristen and I are going to make a pizza tonight with our friends Janelle and Mike, and we're going to talk about emceeing their wedding.
Are you guys doing that?
Yep. Next Saturday.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Have you emceed a wedding?
Yep. It was great. I emceed my friend AJ's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was also in his wedding party, but I was in charge of MC duties as well, and it was fine. People laughed.
Great.
Yeah, that's what you want. They especially laughed the more sincere I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, crowds like that like sincerity.
Yeah. Like when I was talking about... Oh my god!
Rajay.
How does that happen?
See, neither of these have been from bad pitching so far.
Mm-mm.
This inning.
Rajay Davis just dropped the easiest fly ball.
It was very sunny, though.
Yeah.
But he was wearing sunglasses.
He is wearing sunglasses, and he is a professional baseball player.
So you're saying I should go for sincerity in my in our co-emceeing?
Well,
I think we'll also go for a Burns and Allen style back and forth.
Oh, who's going to be Burns?
It's a good question.
Krista's got that smoky voice.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah. Dave! That's...
Oh, that kind of smoky voice.
Yeah.
Where it sounds like you've been smoking too much.
David!
Yeah, Krista?
My friends are getting married.
Oh, we're married?
Yeah, that's when you get married.
Oh, I thought it was something else.
No. Go Jays.
Say goodnight, Krista.
Goodnight, Krista.
Classic. Yeah, the theme of these bobbleheads is Legends of the Dome, referring to the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Yeah. I kind of miss the Metrodome a little bit.
Yeah. It's probably more fun for people in Minnesota to go outside, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, their dome, you couldn't take the roof off like ours.
Yeah, how would you feel if we had an outside-only baseball stadium?
I would probably like it.
Yeah.
But I would miss the Sky Dome a lot.
I would miss the Sky Dome. I've had a lot of good memories there, but... Yeah, I think I would like to have a traditional baseball stadium as well.
I like that how unique the Sky Dome is now. It's pretty much just it and Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
And Sky Dome is clearly better than Tropicana Field.
I feel, though, that a lot of the players don't like...
Yeah, because of the artificial turf.
The artificial turf and...
See, but it used to be that everyone played on artificial turf.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're bitching about.
Yeah, it used to be more 50-50.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I've said before that I enjoy the Sky Dome's failed monument to God.
Oh, that's quality. That's a good quote from you.
Yeah.
I think I still have that as favorite quote on my Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the physically biggest stadium in baseball.
Yeah.
We have a huge scoreboard. And it just reminds me of the 90s in a great way.
The 90s were a great time for the Jays and an even better time to be Dave Barclay.
That's probably not true. just back when like they sold out every game and it was such a huge deal to have the Sky Dome.
Yeah.
Like it's sad that people don't like it anymore.
Yeah, it used to be the toast of the town.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say I still like it. I'm not one of those Sky Dome haters, but if we had a nice green grass playing baseball, no matter how cold it is outside, playing outside, I think I would be more than cool with that.
Yeah.
If we started at a retro look with a facade and everything.
See, but then we'd look like every other baseball team.
I guess that's a good point.
The thing is, we don't really have a lot of baseball history in Toronto.
True.
So, like...
It could be modeled after Exhibition Stadium.
Yeah, it would be a throwback to a time that never was.
True enough. Yeah, I guess you're right. That's a good point. The Sky Dome really is sort of the historical Toronto baseball stadium, because that's where... all of our defining moments took place, and it was sort of... Exhibition Stadium was never really looked at as a quaint, nice stadium. You had a big gap between left field and where the fans seat because
it was a football field. Yeah, it's more a hilarious place to to try and play baseball.
Yeah.
And also, I spent most of my youth watching the VHS tape, Sky High, The Story of the Toronto Blue Jays of 1989. And that has implanted in my brain permanently that the Sky Dome is the best baseball stadium in history.
That is what that particular video would have you believe. So I listened to last week's podcast and it's... Oh, great.
Oh! Snazzy catch, Jose Bautista.
Just laid out for one and made a spectacular catch in right field.
He hasn't given up on this game.
No way. He knows he's going to get a chance to...
He's no Dave Barkley.
That was a great catch.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Wow.
Couldn't have made that at third base.
Uh-uh.
I met Aaron Hill at Sears.
Oh, yeah?
When he was signing things.
He was signing the merchandise he wanted to buy.
Yeah. And I just gave him a sheet they provided me with. And I signed it, and I used to keep it in my book cover that I kept when carrying books around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost it on the subway.
You lost Aaron Hill's autograph?
Yeah.
Oh. Someone probably found that and was ecstatic.
Yeah, and sold it on eBay for $1 million.
Wow.
That's one of like 4 or 5 of those I've lost on the subway.
Autographs?
No, book covers.
Oh. Every time you get an autograph, you lose it on the subway.
Yeah. I went to Anaheim with my parents when I was 13.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice place?
Yeah, Disneyland is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a lot of Disney resorts as a kid, so I was like, this is no Disney World.
You preferred Disney World.
I preferred learning about the nations of the earth at Epcot Center. And going in a big golf ball and seeing animatronic presentations about the future in Spaceship Earth.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It is great. We should go to Disney World and classify it as a podcast expense.
Mm-hmm. Write it off.
Yeah. To go to some Rays game.
Well, you've been to Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
Is it depressing?
Yes, and I did not want it to be. I kind of was like into Tropicana Field before I went there.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like the idea of it?
Yeah.
Like, here's the other turf stadium.
Yeah.
Let's have go.
Our sister stadium. Yeah. And then I went in there and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is weird.
Mm.
Yeah, there's just weird signs everywhere. The fans were constantly ringing cowbells. You were inside, but it felt more inside than the Sky Dome, if that makes sense. No,
the Sky Dome's like big and expansive. I mean, Tampa Bay, you regularly run into problems with like home runs going off the roof and what happens now. And
yeah,
there's like a whole new set of ground rules. It just feels like...
It's a bit more contained. Yeah, there's like weird bars everywhere. Of the kind you find all over Florida.
Yeah.
It's like outside Florida, but inside. Which kind of defeats the whole purpose of Florida.
Yeah, so there's like bars. Like, you mean drinking establishments?
Yeah, like, you know the one in center field?
Yeah.
That I sometimes hit home runs off of?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's some mojito bar or something like that. And they have, like, picnic tables along the foul lines.
Mm-hmm.
But, which... Again, doesn't make sense because you're inside.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's the roof is all tilty, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. Like, I saw the Jays win there.
Yeah.
And...
But that just made angry, sad fans even angrier and sadder, though, right?
Yeah. But, they weren't angry because they're, like, families.
Oh, I got it.
They're the same as I imagine the Angels fans to be.
So was it a good crowd, though?
I think it was decent.
Yeah.
Like probably 20,000-30,000. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Then again, the Rays, like, have been doing well the last 3 seasons.
Yeah. Right? But they still haven't had great attendance. They have a lot of promotions there. On the day I went there, they were giving out I Heart Longo t-shirts, but only to women. And apparently a gay guy was making a big fuss because he couldn't get one. they didn't have a concert after the game the day I went there.
But they have had those.
Yeah, I think
MC Hammer one?
Probably. Yeah. I think it was like what's that rock and roller whose name starts with an F? I want to say like Bob Seger, but that's not it. It's like someone F something.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's it.
Yeah. He played Frampton?
That's it.
Peter Frampton.
Yeah. He was there the day after we went. Yeah. And we got to dance across the field after the game, even though the Rays had lost. So we were happy to dance.
So you went on the field?
Yeah.
And they're okay with that, obviously?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's made of turf. Who cares? Yeah, I think Boris. Krista.
My wife.
Boris.
Really giving it to Krista in this podcast.
Have I? Oh, yeah. We imitated her being George Burns.
We said she had George Burns' voice.
Yeah. I wonder if she'll listen to this. She probably won't get past the baseball.
Yeah. You're like, baseball, I'm not listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah, but baseball. What? I don't understand. My wife is great, but she does not enjoy baseball as much as I do.
No, and she doesn't have a George Burns voice either.
No.
We should point that out.
Yeah. The we've been trying to portray her as a baseball loving George Burns, but she's the opposite of that.
Yeah. That's the wife you wanted when you were 10 years old.
A wise cracking cigar smoking baseball lover.
With a huge cock.
Does George Burns have a huge cock?
I don't know.
You know who did?
Who?
Milton Berle.
Did he?
Yeah, and he would show it to anyone who asked. I've read about that in more than one Hollywood history book.
Wow. Yeah, somehow I doubt it was George Burns, though. This part we can probably edit out.
What? This is gold.
Talking about dinks on a sports podcast. Yeah.
Well, this part
What's
of
our demographic again?
Our eventual transition to a Hollywood dinks podcast.
Next season we'll do a podcast called Hollywood Dinks.
I mean the off season.
Hollywood Dinks.
Hollywood Dinks. If you got a dink and you're from the wood. We'll have all these guests from Hollywood.
Yeah.
We can move to Hollywood. Go to Angels games all the time.
I don't want to go to Angels games all the time.
Well, you'd be a Dodger fan, eh?
I'm not 7 years old. Why would I want to go to an Angels game? Yeah, I think I would be a Dodgers fan, actually.
I think I'd... I don't know what I'd do.
Just wait for the Jays to come to town?
Yeah.
And boycott baseball for the rest of the season?
I guess so.
Yeah. No, I think I'd go to Dodger games.
I like American League ball better than National League.
Yeah, I do too. But
not because of, like, I guess the rules or anything, but just the teams seem better.
Yeah, they do. I agree with that. Yeah, more dynamic players, I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about the Dodgers is, like, that team a couple of years ago looked pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just seem like, with, like, largely the same core, it just seems very stale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, the purse is warming up!
The purse is lurse. For all of you who don't know what that means, who could blame you? That means David Percy is warming up in the bullpen, getting loose,
mm-hmm.
i.e.
Or lurse.
David Percy, the purse, is lurse.
Let's get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're playing the Rangers a lot this year.
Yeah. We do well against the Rangers.
Yeah, last year we were 7-3.
Yeah.
But we were terrible against the Red Sox last year.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll catch them off guard this year. Hopefully we're just not the team that gets the Red Sox going and gives them that taste for blood.
I feel like that's what will happen.
Well, you remember a couple of years ago, we went to Fenway Park.
Yeah.
David Ortiz, that was 2009. That was the big Ortiz still hadn't homered come late May.
Yeah, one of the many years now.
Of course, he hits his first one against the Blue Jays and Brett Cecil. And that, sure enough, was the game that we went to.
Yeah, I was trying to find a coffee somewhere in Fenway at the time.
Yeah, I was definitely in my seat with our friend Tim Gilbert and watching mayhem unfold around us. Everybody happy except for
you and Tim.
The two of us.
Where was Steve?
It's a weird... Steve was trying to find a bobblehead, I want to say.
Looking for a Brad Penny bobblehead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird feeling about going to road games where when something happens for the home team, everyone in the building is happy but you.
I almost felt weirder when we went to Baltimore and we won.
Yeah.
And like,
and we were the only happy
ones. Hooray! Yeah. And everyone's like, this has happened every year, all the time.
We've been through many hardships.
Well, Weaver's tired. Bring in their shitty bullpen.
Do they have a shitty bullpen?
They don't have one now. They used it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They brought up this guy, probably. Takahashi?
Yum, yum.
Delicious.
I'll take it.
And who's this guy?
I don't know. The...
45.
Number 45.
If we weren't listening to this on mute, then the announcers would tell us.
Absolutely. That's probably all they're talking about right
now.
Yeah. So once again, that's Takahashi. Takahashi. Takahashi.
Takahashi and the other guy, whose name is this.
Buck
this,
Martinez this, is this. Having a stroke as we speak.
But we were still in. But it's 3-0.
He's saying Takahashi till he bites his tongue and blood starts pouring out of his mouth.
In his brain, he's mispronouncing it every time.
Yeah.
He's trying to get it right. And that's a four-pitch walk.
Four-pitch walk to Junal Escobar.
To Miss June.
That's what you're going to call Junal Escobar?
Yeah, that's my new nickname.
Here comes Jose Bautista.
Oh.
He was cheated the last time.
I feel like he's been disappointing me more lately than... making me happy.
Well, that's because you expect more of him now.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes he does well, though. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's a replay of him being furious. Last year, when he came up against the Indians with the bases loaded, I was like, I want him to hit a home run, but he probably won't. And then he did.
Oh, yeah.
And... we almost died with all the ape shit we went.
Yeah, yeah, that was in, I wasn't at that game. I think I was in Detroit eating Brazilian steak.
What?
I was
at
a Brazilian steakhouse. I was with Nat's family. Mm. And I got a bunch of texts about Jose Bautista's grand slam, and I was furious.
You threw your Brazilian steak on the ground?
I threw it at the waiter, and I said... clean it up.
Does your team just hit a grand slam? And they're like, yeah, Brandon Inge just did.
He nailed the Detroit accent. Oh yes, Brandon Inge hits one all the time.
That was a real fire one.
Oh, here in Detroit we hit one almost every day. And that just made me madder.
Like, I'm gonna slap that accent right out of your mouth. Okay, your customer's always right.
Okay, but would you like more steaks?
Old Irish woman.
This accent's really deviated.
I'll go get you a new steak. I got to go all the way to Brazil to get it though.
This is a tense moment.
This is the part of the podcast where we focus on the game and cut later.
Yeah.
Unless something happens.
For some reason, we decided during the last podcast, every time we talked about the actual game, it was bad radio.
I think we decided that because that's true.
Because we're not Buck Martinez.
No. No. Sadly.
Well, can you imagine? Okay, let's pretend we're Buck Martinez calling Adam Lind. I'll be Buck and you be Pat Tatler.
All right.
Adam Hill is up for the Blob Tabs. He's 1 for 10 today.
And a fascinating thing.
Is that Tabby?
Yeah. He's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit. He's got that. He's got that charming Detroit accent.
My hair is very curly if I grow it out.
Now that was strike 5.
Martinez is crazy.
Yeah. He gets names wrong. He gets facts wrong. He gets.
I love when he gets names wrong. Like, from that he replaces them with names from 20 years ago.
He actually did call him Aaron Lind the other day.
Ah, son of a gun.
Lind is out. Rally goes for naught. Sorry, Jays.
One more inning.
We're in danger of losing a game by more than one run for the first time this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time we have a podcast, something we lose worse than we ever have before.
Yeah.
In increments of one run. So, next week, we'll lose by 3.
Yep.
Next week, we are going to be playing the Red Sox.
Oh, that's exciting.
In Fenway, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully they're still shitty by then.
Oh, fingies crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about all the times we had in Fenway, even more than we did this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a lot this week. Or did we? It might get edited out.
In anticipation of great ripping yarns next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this year, the three of us, Dave, myself, and our so far absent producer, Steve Pookin, we always go on a baseball road trip. And we are going to Detroit in about a month now, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But our big trip is going to be to Cooperstown to watch Alomar's Hall of Fame induction.
And Pat Gillicks.
And Pat Gillicks, of course, yeah. And Bert Blyleven. Let's just name everyone.
Who shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame because he's not famous enough.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's review all the baseball trips we've gone on.
Okay. 2007 was our first trip to Detroit.
That's right, and that was a makeup day. It was a one-game series.
Yeah, that's right. Just kind of worked out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year we were like, let's make this baseball thing a thing.
Yeah.
These trips.
So that was only Paul and I the first time.
Yeah. The second time, a bunch of us went down to New York City to see Yankee Stadium in its final year.
Yeah. That was great.
That was awesome. Third year, we went to Boston.
Yeah.
In 2009. Last year, we went to Baltimore.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah. And this year, we're going to Cooperstown and Detroit.
Yeah.
Hey, is there a Hall of Fame game this year?
I thought they got rid of those.
Did they?
Yeah, because I think just teams didn't want to play exhibition games in the middle of the season anymore.
I guess that's a good point. Why don't they just make it a regular season game?
I don't know. They would have to give up the gate receipts.
I suppose.
But then again, they made a lot of teams play in Puerto Rico a lot of the time.
Yep, good point.
But that's only when you play in Montreal.
Oh, yeah. How often were they playing in Puerto Rico by the end? Like, quite a bit, right?
Like half their games.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Poor Expos.
Yeah, the poor Expos.
Yeah.
God rest their soul.
Yeah.
think the Blue Jays should adopt the Expos old uniforms.
Why?
They're better than their current unis.
Yeah, I kind of like the, you know, the pinstripes.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, like, their original ones where they looked kind of circus-y. But they're really cool numbers.
Yeah. Those were cool.
Yeah.
Like the tricolor ones?
Yeah.
Like with the blue and the red shoulders and the multicolored hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
They also had the most complicated logo in sports.
Yeah, which was just Expos baseball, wasn't it? Like an E and a B?
But it also made an M. So Montreal Expos baseball.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Kind of like the Milwaukee Brewers logo.
Yeah.
Where the M and the B made a glove. That was cool. I wish they would go back to that. Oh, that's not good.
Game over.
The Jays lose again.
The Jays lose. So far, we haven't had a winning podcast yet.
Well, we hold out hope.
We do.
We'll see you next week. We'll be watching the game at Fenway Park.
Yep.
Which we've been to.
So, look forward to hearing a lot about that.
This week, probably before this goes up, I'll be at a show called Parker and Seville's 4th Anniversary Spit-tacular at the Rivoli.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to that.
That's on Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to that. I'll be there.
Yeah, Paulo Frank will be there.
Signing autographs.
I think I'll be doing stand-up at the Pantages Hotel on Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm trying to use this podcast more to promote myself.
All right.
Do you want to plug anything?
I'm going to be doing this podcast next week.
Oh, good one.
At about this time.
No, probably earlier.
Yeah, probably even earlier.
Yeah.
So look for that. All right. Well, good night, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Safe travels.